time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right. Hey, hey, hey. Happy Thursday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. He is Paul Gallant. Our producer is Sean Bates behind the glass. And Paul had a really great day yesterday.
No, I didn't. It was awful. Look, I'll be honest. I was actually...
And I have to do it today, so I actually can't make fun of you.
We're in the same boat in that we both are, one, paying our taxes on the last day, and two, are trying to get new papers from out of state.
I did get my taxes done.
Shoot. Well, I got to do that today.
H&R Block. Shout out to Vincent at H&R Block.
Hell yeah, Vincent. You the man. I got to find me a Vincent. Anyway, yeah, I spent like 4.5 hours on 3 separate trips to multiple DMVs just to get my registration taken care of.
Why did it take that much?
Well, because first time I went to the DMV, they said, actually, we don't do registration here, even though I waited in line to get inside. So they sent me to the tax collector assessors, which I got to. I got to the front, and apparently you have to have the authentic copy of your inspection. You can't have, like, photocopies.
This is for a car registration.
Correct, yes.
So you didn't need a new license.
No.
Or a driver's
license.
Well,
I do. Now I need to get that today. So this,
oh my God.
We're a mess. Whatever. All you need to know is this. It took, like, 4.5 hours, and I got back in at 4:29 with the right paperwork after getting there at, like, 1 o'clock, and they took care of me by 5:20. And what was funnier is that I got home thinking that I had missed the entire Astros game, only to find out that somehow a 1-1 baseball game was in the 10th inning, despite it having started about 3.5 hours earlier.
Okay, so but your beef was you needed your car registered.
Yeah, we're good. We're registered now.
All right, good.
Hell
my
yeah.
Taxes are done.
Hell yeah.
It goes back to my Wine Wednesday yesterday.
We are adults.
Adulting. It's terrible.
Kind of.
The Astros game yesterday, not great. Not overly worried about it, but the offense looked a little bit tired. Framber Valdez had issues with control, and they just didn't really look like they were an energized team.
Yeah, my big issue with the game is what I outlined. How the hell are these games taking so long, Vanessa? 3 hours and 50 minutes, and it was 1-1 entering extra innings. Thank God for the runner on second. How much longer would that game have gone?
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Without any scoring. I mean, look, I wanted the Astros to win, but I can't believe some of these games are taking as long as they're taking, considering the lack of action. And there were a couple of moments in extra innings where I was just remembering, gosh, I forgot that baseball doesn't enforce any of these things that they are supposedly trying to do to make regular season games quicken the pace a little bit. Jose Altuve stepping out of the batter's box like he's Nomar Garcia Parra, adjusting it like he's obsessive compulsive. You have pitchers taking their sweet time to get to home plate. That was the thing that bothered me most from yesterday's game. I'm with you in that. Look, the games like this are going to happen over the course
of
the season.
Especially early on with the shortened spring training.
Right. And clearly that is, I think, the problem where we got Framber Valdez, who's, you know, always been very inconsistent. I mean, he doesn't even go 5 innings. You take him out early, 70 pitches it takes to get him out of the game. He needs to be more consistent. That's really all you can say about it. But it's not like he was getting shelled for runs or anything like that. He just had issues with control, which is always a problem.
5 walks through 40 of his 75 pitches for strikes across 3 innings of 2 hits, 1 earned run, and 3 strikeouts. So rough day for Valdez. But, you know, like we said, I think we've addressed this at the beginning of the season. We've addressed it since last season where the question mark with Lance McCullers Jr., is he going to be ready to go at any point soon, is a big thing.
Take your sweet time.
Yeah.
I mean, if Framber Valdez is essentially using this as spring training, which is what I'm hoping after a 5-walk performance. This was spring training. It's fine. It's nothing serious. It's nothing that you have to be concerned about. But yeah, take your sweet time. Everyone should be taking their sweet time, though I suppose that lends itself to other conversations across baseball these days.
Absolutely. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. If you'd like to see our faces, you can watch Twitch or you can stream us on the ESPN app. Another big controversy in baseball yesterday, and this is, it's like indicative of where baseball is at with people. Should they be more modern, the analytic nerds, etc.? You hear these conversations a lot. Clayton Kershaw pulled from a perfect game after 80 pitches, and he defended the decision.
Yes, he defended the decision.
He was a good soldier.
David Roberts, the manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, explained why he decided to pull Clayton Kershaw. Here is Roberts.
Got to 80 pitches, and I felt that the stuff was starting to tick down, talking to Austin and Clayton himself. And so, you know, I think there's a point where you just got to decide. I got to decide to what end. I'm as big a fan as anyone and a fan of Clayton, and to see a battery of him and Austin throw a perfect game or a no-hitter, I'm all in. But again, to what end or to what cost? And so every decision I make is for the best interest of the player, their health, and the ball club, because there's a lot of people that are cheering for the Dodgers, not only just for today and Clayton to throw a no-hitter, but for the Dodgers to win the World Series.
Great. Is a perfect game in April going to affect the Dodgers' ability to win a World Series when Clayton Kershaw is being pulled from a game after 80 pitches? Does anyone really believe that? That all of a sudden, the Clayton Kershaw's, I guess, shelf life for the season, it's slightly going to be potentially spoiled in October. Oh, Clayton Kershaw's October struggles are going to be stopped by pulling him from his maybe one opportunity to get a perfect game? To me, Vanessa, it's further emphasis in these sports that probably have regular seasons that are too long, that the regular season to the majority of teams, especially ones that know where they will be at the end of the year, the Dodgers know they'll be in the playoffs. The regular season doesn't matter. When you see stuff like this, that to me bothers me. Would Michael Jordan on the pace for an 100-point game allow himself to be pulled from a game?
No, he would have kicked and screamed. He would not have walked off the court.
Right.
And I wanted to see that from Kershaw.
So I
liked Jeff Passan's tweet. If it's a no-hitter, whatever, yank him, Clayton Kershaw has thrown one. But there have been more than 23 perfect games. 220,000 games in MLB history, there have been 23 perfect games only.
It never
everything,
happens.
Especially a pitch count of 80, is lining up to at least let Kershaw try. You cannot pull him.
I agree
with Jeff Passan. It's not just a no-hitter. We're talking about a perfect game. There's only been 23 perfect games. I can't believe Clayton Kershaw was okay with this.
I wouldn't have been. But, okay, to each their own. The Dodgers are about World Series. They're not about regular season victories. But to me, I see something like that happen. I see load management in basketball. I see it in baseball already with some of these players that are getting off days. And baseball's largely an undemanding sport, at least for players. Like, you're standing around in the field. I guess if you're a catcher, maybe it's a little bit demanding. Maybe traveling's demanding. Pitching may be a little bit different, but he threw 80 pitches. You really feel like this is going to be something that's not absolutely crushed later? I think it's a bad look, and it's just going to lead to more people feeling comfortable making decisions like this. And by the way, sometimes when you pull a pitcher from a game early, it totally blows up in your face. Just ask the Tampa Bay Rays in the World Series when they pulled Blake Snell from a game where he was dealing. Oh, we're going to take him out of the game.
And respect to Blake Snell for complaining about that. Respect to Blake Snell for being open and honest about the fact that he thought that that was BS.
How many people are actually defending moves like this? Because I know some of the analytics types, Vanessa, and I hate to say it like that. It makes me sound like a bit of an old man yelling at a cloud.
Yeah.
Right. But some of the people that I think are of the belief that you manage baseball in a way where you give a specific amount of innings to each player over the course of the season, I bet some people are defending this. And to me, I'll just go back and say, okay, then what's the point of these regular season games then?
And why have so many?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's shrink the regular season if you're going to treat it like this. That would be the directive to Rob Manfred. But the message that I have to just everybody is, do we want the regular season to matter or not? I want it to matter. I would like it to matter. If I'm going to sit and watch a 3-hour and 50-minute game that features two runs, I would like the game to be treated like more than a glorified preseason game. It's early, whatever, but they had a perfect bleeping game going, and you decided, if I'm in the crowd for that, I mean,
furious.
What the hell?
Lion Pride 71 on Twitch says, yeah, so when his arm falls off in a game or two, then what will everyone be saying? His arm's not going to fall off in a game or two, because especially if he pitches a perfect game, that becomes an incredible story. That becomes the 24th perfect game in MLB history.
Mm-hmm. He threw 20 more pitches, Vanessa, though, and his arm literally fell off because of the extra 20 pitches in a game where he was largely being unchallenged. We baby pitchers now, too. I mean, how many guys were... Go back to, like, the 1910s. You got guys like... or I don't even know when the hell Cy Young pitched. These guys were, like, starting, I would say, like, 40 times a season. They're going 8 to 9 innings every single game. All of a sudden now, these guys, we're putting them on ice for everything. It's essentially, hey, you got this high-speed car that you love and you wash and you polish and you take care of it, and you drive it out like one day a week to go 3 miles to the grocery store and back. Like, that's kind of the vibe I get. If you got someone like Clayton Kershaw, let the horse, you know, go the full nine, especially if he's got an opportunity there.
All I have to say is that Dusty Baker would never. Dusty Baker would never. I don't think he would. Nope.
I hope he wouldn't.
Nope.
I don't believe anyone would do that now.
I do not think Dusty Baker would do that. I think that's, you got to give Astros credit on a lot of different fronts. I think Jim Crane would be in the crowd cheering for a perfect game, and I think Dusty Baker wouldn't pull him.
If it's in playoffs,
and you need to conserve arms and all that, then we're having a different discussion.
Oh, they'd pull him in the third inning if it was the playoffs. Right. He might go through the lineup a third time. God forbid, the best pitcher we have, one of the best pitchers in baseball, face anybody and hurt his little shoulder. We got to think about, we're in the World Series, but we got to think about 2023, you guys. We don't need to think about now.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to be talking about Bill Simmons' controversial comments. That's an understatement. But first, if you own your home, listen to me. Grab your phone. Our friends at TGS Insurance are going to deliver big savings, and you don't even have to talk to an agent. That is a hassle. You probably don't shop for better rates because it's a hassle. Not the case anymore, thanks to TGS. They have a new system. It instantly shops over 3 dozen carriers and gives you a full quote, and all you have to do is send a text message. You'll save a bunch of money. So take your phone right now. Text the word money. That's M-O-N-E-Y to 232323. Their system is going to ask for your home address. Send it back. You'll get your full quote with great coverage within 15 seconds. Guys, this company is legit. The savings legit. Their online rating is almost perfect. And their average customer from last year is saving over $870. What could you do with that cash? Come on now. I know you don't like to shop for your home insurance, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. You're only one text away from massive savings. One more time, text money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Our guys are giving me a history lesson. We were talking about Cy Young.
Yeah.
Who played in 1892, right?
Correct.
And I...
You saw that Columbus might have sailed the blue
of the ocean. I thought it was in 1892 Columbus sailed the ocean blue, but it's 14.
You got the 92 right.
The 92 is right.
He did it in 1992, actually. He was listening to Nirvana the whole way.
If it happened more than 100 years, I have no idea.
Just imagining Columbus showing up with all the smallpox and being like, something's in the way.
Yeah.
I am vengeance. Yeah, we know, bro. We know you were vengeance. We do have a phone call about Clayton Kershaw.
Juan in Cyprus.
Juan, 713-780-3776. What's up?
Hey, guys. I love your show. Like I said before, I'm glad that Vanessa's back.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend.
And I just want you guys to think of every pitcher having an RPM tachometer. And the fact that spring training didn't last but 3 weeks is a major factor on why pitchers, like the fact that the Astros have incredible pitching is an anomaly, especially this early. And so every pitcher has a tachometer, and no coach wants to get them past whatever specific inning, you know, pitching, whether it's 70, 80, and because it's normally a lot longer to get the arm healthy. And so if you go over that said number, there is a huge chance for to get hurt. And
I,
so
I get what you're saying there, Juan. Do you think it's the managers, though? I mean, I'm of the belief that this is all coming from the front office down and that the managers are just saying what they're supposed to say, but that the guys up in the front office are like, hey, here's the limit. They're making the phone call downstairs and the managers are picking it up and they're doing what they're being told. Because I would imagine a lot of these managers, honestly, if they had it their way, they wouldn't go out and pull a guy from a game. Like, did Kevin Cash actually give the code red back in those World Series? Did it actually happen from Dave Roberts last night? He said it was, but maybe it wasn't. I don't know. What do you think, Juan?
Well, you know, in the middle of the season and the end of the season, that conversation would be valid. But this early, you definitely want to err on the side of caution. Mm-hmm. So you'll never see Verlander, you know, quit after five innings when it matters.
And
that's what he pitched.
I get what you're saying there, Juan. And the key thing you said right there is when it matters. Like, I get that logic, but... And, you know, we were talking about it in the break while we were talking about Cy Young.
And Christopher Columbus.
And Christopher Columbus. The two just go hand in hand. Cy Young had like 49 starts in 1890, and he threw how many, Sean Mapes, complete games?
49 starts, 48 complete games.
Look, it's different time, different era, and you're trying to make sure that these guys last a full season. All I'm saying is, and appreciate the phone call, Juan.
Yeah, thank you, Juan.
There was a time where we did not give a damn about this, and did it mean dramatically more injuries for pitchers? I couldn't say off the top of my head, but I feel like injuries are just a flukish, random thing, and that's not putting somebody out there. I suppose it decreases the... amount of times it could happen, but does it decrease the probability of a random injury happening? I don't necessarily subscribe to that.
And
I think
it's a larger discussion that we're having constantly about baseball. I mean, think about a couple of months ago, we were talking about how the lockout was like secondary news to the NFL combine. I mean, baseball is having issues with quote unquote fun, younger demographics. This is a discussion that you've heard on every sports radio show and every what you call yell at your pizza.
Speak for your pizza show
for forever.
Cold popcorn, right.
It's been a long time coming. So when you see things like this and you think about the fact that there needs to be more fun, there needs to be more energy, there needs to be that. And you couple that with the fact that injuries do seem to be semi-random. Mm-hmm. There's, of course, data. There's analytics. And sometimes you just don't know. And that goes for every sport, by the way. There are more guys in basketball with knees that the equivalent of a 60-year-old when they're 30, because now basketball's year-round. You play at school, you play AAU, you never stop playing. So by the time guys are 30, they literally have, some of them have kneecaps of the equivalent of a 60-year-old. And guys like Greg Oden that end up getting injured and just being complete busts. That does happen in sports, but to your point, can you predict it?
I feel like Juan's point was that you can prevent. You can say, okay, look, I don't know even what that technological device he was talking about was, but sounded cool. I would just, to make a lame car comparison, you look at the odometer and there's a certain period of time where you want to make sure that you're taking the car in for an oil change. Otherwise, you might end up like I was back with my old Toyota Camry from
2002. Did you never get oil changes?
I kept on procrastinating oil changes with this one for like, and I knew I needed it. And then one day on the highway, I heard grinding and I was like, God damn it.
Yeah.
So then I got a new car. Now I got a new car out of it finally. And that was fine. And now I own that thing. And I got it registered yesterday. Hell yeah. But I get that you can maybe prevent long-term injury, but at the same time, I feel like when an injury happens, it's, I think, more because of a flukish moment in mechanics as opposed to like the gradual wear and tear. Maybe that will make Clayton Kershaw better at the end of the year, but whatever.
Hate it.
You have a perfect game going, and
lame.
As to your conversation earlier, you want people to actually watch these games and think that regular season baseball matters anywhere close to postseason baseball, which is beautiful. I love postseason baseball. Then you got to have guys actually play as if this game matters instead of thinking like, oh, this game isn't good enough for us long term. It's annoying to me.
Meanwhile, Bill Simmons apparently does not think Jalen Green matters. Bill Simmons, of course, founded The Ringer, hosts a podcast, very well known in the media world. I don't know if I would use the word popular anymore, but a lot of people follow his work. He does a lot of different things with media. And he was on his podcast talking about things involving voting for...
He's a voter.
But he's a voter, right? So people are automatically going to have a microscope on him. Here's what he said about Jalen Green that has caused all the controversy.
Herb Jones...
Yeah,
they have the
our guy Herb Jones.
I mean, they
Herb
can beat
Jones
you.
Is hipster Twitter favorite for sure.
I put him on all defense.
You have him second team forward, Bill?
I put him first team all rookie.
I had him.
I put him over Jalen Green. Jalen Green. Hey, I don't care. You're scoring 40 points and your team's 19 and 60.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Bill.
Herb Jones was like guarding dudes in real games.
Bill, when I look back at my ballot this year, it's
now,
very
possible. Now the Houston people are going to be mad at me. I'm sorry. I like winning players. I'm sorry. Jalen Green will get there. It's just that team was 21 and 61 this year or whatever.
So the headline probably reads a little worse than the actual audio segment, because the headline,
like most aggregation,
is F Jalen Green,
yeah.
Which makes it sound way more aggressive than it is. Paul, what are your initial thoughts?
He's clearly saying it sarcastically, right. And look, he's from Boston. I'm not the biggest Bill Simmons fan. I used to be a lot more of one, but
that's what I mean. He's not well-liked anymore.
I'll say this. I do feel like when he is not droning on and on about the Boston Celtics, which even to me, a Celtics fan, is annoying, I feel like he's generally on top of basketball. He watches. He does do his homework on this mm-hmm. front. That's why he is a voter. That's why he was on the Inside the NBA shows. His larger point, I don't think, is wrong. Remember that Jalen Green struggled at the beginning of this season. And as we continue this conversation about, okay, well, how much of the regular season matters? The first half of the regular season has to matter. Green was awesome down the stretch. Does Green being awesome down the stretch mean that the entirety of his rookie season is better than these other guys? And I'll be honest, I didn't watch them, so I'm not going to even make a case for those other guys. I'm just saying, I understand the argument for saying, hey, Jalen Green played on the worst team in the NBA this year. They were. They had the fewest wins in basketball, and it took him a while to get going. I feel great about him going forward, but it is the all rookie team in the NBA about who you feel best about going forward as a rookie, or is it about who were the best rookies this past season?
Yeah.
Rockets fans are going to get sensitive. They do it. Most NBA fans are extremely sensitive. I think Rockets fans are a little bit different, but not that much different. So, of course, they're going to see this and they're going to get mad about it. But I don't think Simmons' larger point is wrong here. And I understand the argument that he is making. He just said it in a way that is going to drive a lot of people crazy as if it's personal, but I don't think it is.
He did get a lot of anger over this, and Bill Simmons even tweeting out it. The irony here is that he tweeted out the Houston Chronicle article and probably helped it get like literally
Hell yeah.
hundreds of thousands of more views. But Bill Simmons quotes the Houston Chronicle article and says, quote, "This is ridiculous. I think we were laughing during 80% of this. My point was, I'm always leaning toward a rookie like Herb Jones who is meaningfully contributing to a decent team over someone putting up stats on a bad team. Jalen is going to be excellent," end quote.
Sorry,
the follow-up. But congrats on getting your traffic, Houston Chronicle. Keep churning out those subs.
I don't get why he gets mad when anyone aggregates his
podcast.
That's
actually probably my biggest pet peeve with Bill Simmons, is just that he has a lot of pull and a lot of power. I mean, he's the boss at the Ringer, right? Yet he gets so upset and his panties in a wad when somebody comes after him. It's like he can't handle it.
You're so right. It's weird, too, because if, say I do a podcast, like the Gallant Says podcast. Say I'm doing a podcast. Who wouldn't want to be aggregated? I don't give a damn if they say, like, well, Paul Gallant, there he was, you know, talking about punting babies off of bridges again. Damn it, Paul. You know, I don't care if it's out of context. That gets me eyeballs. That gets me ears. That gets me listens. And he's mad about people, like, aggregating his podcast. What? Why? I don't understand that part of him, because he does this a lot.
Yeah,
he's like,
yeah.
Oh, they're going to aggregate this. Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's what's annoying about him.
It's good. It's good to be aggregated, and that's right. What happens when you have a national podcast, like the most important sports podcast, honestly, ever. It was the first sports podcast that people really listened to.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I remember I was listening to this on my iPod, you know, where you had to plug in your iPod to a USB cord and into your computer and then download the podcast that way. You couldn't get it from your phone because your iPod didn't have Wi-Fi or anything like that.
Oh, Grandpa, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
right.
you did not suffer through the dark times.
I mean, had an iPod. I had a pink iPod.
Okay, but you didn't have to deal with what we had. Like, in college, I had a flip phone in college.
27, 28, 29, 30. You were
33.
You're like 7 years older than me.
Right, and things have changed that much in seven years.
Oh,
I can't even imagine. Did you have an iPhone in high school?
Yes.
I don't even have anything else to say. Like, I'm just so jealous. That's not fair. How did you, serious question, how did you pay attention? I would not have been able to handle
an
iPhone
ADHD
in high school.
Well, I have ADHD anyway.
Oh, so you didn't. Okay.
So I didn't.
Well, congrats on graduating.
Thank you.
You did it despite having an iPhone.
What I did is I picked a major, which was called communication, where I probably studied 5 times total in college.
Oh, good for you.
I didn't go to Syracuse. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, speaking of Bill Simmons whining, this NFL quarterback whined on a podcast as well. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We were just doing news talk in the commercial break.
Baker Mayfield, a big talker today.
Did you ever have a fake news laugh when you're on TV?
Yes, because my real laugh, as you've heard, can be very deep.
I like it.
And not attractive. But yeah, that's it. But I did have a fake news laugh. Ready?
Oh, wow. That sounds like someone's peed in your Cheerios.
I'm Vanessa Richardson at NRG Stadium, where the Texans have parted ways with J.J. Watt, the 3-time Defensive Player of the Year. Ended on amicable terms. Yeah, I can still turn it on.
So I'm back. I'm the guy with the mustache back in studio. Like, well, Vanessa, what will the Texans do now? Oh, see, there's the laugh. Okay, that's the radio laugh for the dad joke, as opposed to the...
Yeah.
I'm glad you didn't give me that. I feel like I would mean I did serious harm to your pet or something.
Yeah, yeah. you are, however, listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Of course, you can get at us on Twitch. You can listen to us. You can see us. You can tweet us. I'm at Sports Vanessa. He's at Gallant Says. And our producer is Sean Mapes. Does Baker Mayfield have a point? Unless you've been living under a rock, you have probably heard what Baker Mayfield said on the, what was it called? The How Do You Know podcast?
The
Do Your Thing
the
podcast?
Thing. He was on that show with the guy, and, you know, it was great when he was talking with old fella McFellapants. I don't know.
I mean,
the audio was aggregated.
The audio was, and there was like a dog in the background, and the dog kind of looked dead. The dog was chilling.
Ooh.
But Baker Mayfield on this podcast was talking about his situation with the Browns. Of course, they trade for Deshaun Watson while he's still their quarterback. He is technically still on the roster. Here's what Mayfield had to say.
I feel disrespected, 100%. Mm-hmm. Because I was told one thing and they completely did another. That's what I'm in the middle of right now. And you know what? Okay, I got my taste of it because I've had 4 different head coaches in 4 years, a bunch of different coordinators. But like, I mean, I had great times my rookie year. Like I didn't start in the beginning. I came in and got to have fun the back half of the year. 2019 sucked. 2020 was great, made the playoffs. 2021 was miserable. It's like, whew, yeah, I'm just looking for stabilization right now. And like, I know what I need to do for me to be the best version of me. Right. And to be able to lead an organization. And, like, I'm in a good place right now.
He's not in a good place. That's a lie. Because
definitely
if you're
not
in a good place, you don't go on a podcast and say all of these things. I will say this. Baker Mayfield played injured. He put up a fight. He didn't tap out. That being said, he has so much to prove before he can have this kind of attitude. And there have been conflicting, when he says he's disrespected, there have been a lot of conflicting reports. Because Mike Garofolo of NFL Network had said that at the NFL Combine that Baker's agents had talked to Brown's ownership or GM or whatever, and there had been the discussion of, hey, we like Baker, but if Deshaun Watson becomes available, we're going to go get him. There were conflicting reports because it seems like Baker doesn't think that's the case. So do you guys think, and we want to hear your perspective, do you think Baker was disrespected by the Browns organization?
It depends, because there are multiple parties, I think, throwing disrespect his way. So let's start off with the one that you just mentioned. There was supposedly some sort of conversation about how the Browns will keep Mayfield if they can't get another quarterback. But we also heard from Chris Mortensen, who I'm guessing talked to Jimmy Haslam because of the lack of tact in the actual quote, that the Browns want more of an adult at quarterback. How do you not feel disrespected by that when the guy played in every single game he could last year, despite being pretty seriously injured? Honestly, I felt like the adult in the room, Kevin Stefanski, should have benched Baker Mayfield because it was clear he was not 100%. He didn't look like the guy that he was the year before. So is the disrespect coming from the front office? Yes. Is disrespect coming from the locker room? That I can't speak to. But it does seem like Baker is even aware that there were some things that he could have been better with as an actual leader. It's telling that Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry, amongst others, the latter part, the most important, were, I think, so we're not going to talk about him.
Yeah, nobody really stood up for him.
Right.
And the other thing is that this is a winning league, right? So, like, you have to win. There's no participation trophies. There's none of that. He hasn't been winning. He's complaining about the fact that he's had four coaches in 4 years. Well, if you were winning more games, maybe you wouldn't have had four coaches in 4 years. There are a lot of people that have to deal with this.
And
the other
thing
is that Baker Mayfield always has had this, like, underdog mentality, even when he won the Heisman. Okay, well, then you have to have that now. Go get a team. And if the other thing is that if you're a team and you're kind of on the fence with Baker Mayfield and you're thinking, okay, do we bring him in? Do we bring him in as a backup? And you hear him complaining like this, it's just such a turnoff. I do agree that he was disrespected by whoever gave that quote to Chris Mortensen. Absolutely agree with that. Saying that they want an adult when they went and got Deshaun Watson, which regardless of how you feel about Deshaun Watson and whether you believe him or not, saying that you want an adult and then trading for Deshaun Watson, that was dicey for sure. But other than that, Baker Mayfield just hasn't produced, and he comes across to me as a guy that's more frustrated with himself than anything.
And I think you heard, though, in that interview that he's frustrated with himself and that there are things that he thinks he can do better. You know, there's a lot of different clips that came out of this interview because he is a thoughtful person when he speaks, that's for sure. And he's definitely an interesting listener.
He's well-spoken.
Even if he's not a good quarterback, like, you're going to hear things from him that you would not hear from 99% of other quarterbacks. He's pretty transparent about things like that. And I thought that it's important for him to say that, yeah, I have things to work on myself. But I think you're right in that, okay, if you want the opportunity to play somewhere else, you got to kind of suck it up because you're at the phase of your career now where people aren't looking at you as a even short-term answer. They're looking at you as someone to roll the dice on at best.
The only way that he starts is if he goes to a team as a backup and someone gets hurt.
Probably.
And he's not starting. And Indianapolis didn't want him.
Yeah.
And that's where he said that he wanted to go to Indianapolis and he requested a trade to Indy and Indy was like, nope.
They got Matt Ryan. They preferred Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's won MVP before. So you can understand that the Colts' logic is that, okay, well, Matt Ryan was in a bad situation with Atlanta. Was Baker Mayfield in a bad situation the last two seasons with Cleveland? I don't think you can make that argument. And I will defend Baker Mayfield probably more than other people do. But I mainly is because I believe he is a tough player and that he will do his best to be out there. Not every quarterback in the NFL is like that. I would point to Jimmy Garoppolo as a guy who probably could play through some of the things that he hasn't played through, at least based off of some of the rumblings you've heard coming out of both locker rooms in Foxborough and locker rooms in, of course, San Francisco. So when it comes to Baker Mayfield going forward, though, you maybe are going to be a backup somewhere or you are waiting for someone to get hurt. I mean, you are essentially getting voodoo cushions or something like that and poking it. Is that what it's called? I forget. Voodoo dolls. That's it.
Yeah, voodoo doll.
Yeah, you're...
That made me think of voodoo donuts, which they always have in the Texans press box.
I thought those were... So yesterday, I had a take online. And no offense to everyone listening right now. I know that food takes are... This is a very, very parochial, territorial place, especially when it comes to barbecue. But Seattle has the best donuts I've ever had. I don't know why. I can't understand why.
Seattle does?
And guess where voodoo donuts are from? They're from the Pacific Northwest. Now, they're from Portland, but...
Yeah, it's not the same thing.
That is.
Portland, Oregon is the same thing as Seattle?
It's like 2-3 hours away. It's not that far away.
I'm not a donut, like... I don't
it's like, know. Well, Austin...
Okay, I don't
Houston
know
Houston and Austin are 3 hours away.
Yeah, it's the same
they're
thing.
Not the same place.
No,
same
not
place.
At all. Not at all.
The greater metropolitan area.
I can't
area.
Talk about geography the same way I can't talk about history, but that just doesn't strike me as the same.
I'm just saying Seattle donuts are great. If you ever go to Seattle, try the donuts. Go to Mighty O Donuts. They are dope.
So emo music?
Yeah.
Grunge
well,
music?
It's great. Like
donuts.
It's a great compliment. It's a great yin and yang.
It sounds like a city where depression runs rampant because you have grunge music, donuts, and then like super rainy weather.
But this time of year, and they hate, so since I'm gone, I can tell people about it. This time of year, it's like 72 degrees for 6 months straight. It's actually beautiful. They don't want anyone to know because they hate it when people visit. I know.
Sounds like a friendly place.
It's so friendly. Well, the homeless people are friendly. Like, maybe a little too friendly.
We've gotten some texts and some comments on Baker's play was disrespectful in 2021, says Cougar Phil on Twitch. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my point of, like, I don't think that everything he's saying is completely wrong, but I think that if you are going to go on a podcast and all this, you better have produced the best that you could produce. You better have had some winning plays. Can't forget that he won, the helped the Browns win their first playoff game in 3 decades.
That is a big deal, and I think that's where Mayfield feels miffed. But it is a what have you done for me lately league.
Yep.
That season doesn't matter in the same way that Carson Wentz's 2017 doesn't matter anymore.
And I think...
And that was a better year by Wentz, by the way. Like, significantly better. He was MVP candidate that season. He had 2 votes.
Certain players that get that and certain players that don't, and I don't think Baker does. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, star wide receivers leaving. What one of the best ever said about that. That's next.
This is ESPN 97.5. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I genuinely was not hungry before the show, and then Paul and I have been talking about donuts for the past 5 minutes.
Someone texted in, Paul, shut your vanilla Coke drinking ass up. Shipley's is the best. And I'm just telling you right now, Shipley's does not have the variety that Mighty O Donuts in Seattle has. And I will go to my grave defending.
People here don't really think Shipley's is the best donut ever.
I don't know. Do we want to start a war against us about donuts? I don't know. Look at Lance Zierlein coming in, shaking his head. Go to Seattle and have them. You'll change your mind on everything. Like, I never thought that donuts were, like, great until I moved to Seattle. Serious. That was all I had.
Let me say this about Shipley's.
Depression and donuts.
Shipley's, they're like apple fritters, and their pastries to me are what really stand out.
Mm, okay.
I love a good apple fritter, nice and fried and crispy.
There is this place that's in between, and I think it's Hrushka's, that has an awesome kolaches.
Oh.
The apple kolache. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. But not like the weird hot dog kolache.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm not a fan of those.
One of my guys who used to listen to my show over at the other station, he always used to get really pissed off when people would talk about the hot dogs that they have, like, as if they were kolaches. No, the kolaches are supposed to be filled with some sort of, you know, glaze filling. This is the Food Network, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
All right, so we've had a lot of movement in the NFL this past offseason. Major stars and lost in all of that. Not lost in all of that, but it's been mostly quarterbacks, right? We've had a lot of wide receiver moving around, too. Devontae Adams, of course, going to the Raiders. It was a shock to a lot of people. I think people assume that once Aaron Rodgers stay put in Green Bay, so would Devontae Adams. Tyreek Hill exiting the Chiefs. There's been a lot of movement. Michael Irvin had an interesting discussion on this. He talked to the New York Post about the movement of wide receivers leaving for more money and going to situations where they're not having as good of quarterbacks. Irvin said, quote, "You left Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if I ever could have left Troy Aikman. I don't think I could have done that. They had some great quarterbacks. I'm interested in seeing how it works out with Tua and Derek Carr, but it's surely not Mahomes and Rodgers. If you make that move, do you shorten the time? You're making $30 million a year because all of a sudden you're not making the same impact. There's a meritocracy. If you're not putting up the numbers that support that $30 million, they come for you, just like Dallas did with Amari Cooper and his $20
million. It had me wondering, this quote from Irvin, Vanessa, if you're a star wide receiver, would you rather have all the money or an elite quarterback? And of course, I'm assuming if you have the elite quarterback, you're making a decent wage. But if you're Tyreek Hill or Devontae Adams, a lot of factors at play here. I mean, you could be in Las Vegas or Green Bay if you're Adams. I know personally for me what I would prefer between those two places. You can be in Miami or in Kansas City if you're Tyreek Hill. I also know my decision between those two places. Even though I hear Kansas City is a nice place, I'm sorry. Like, Florida is my jam. In Miami, I would kill to be making millions and living in Miami.
Yeah, that'd be a good life.
Yes, I don't think I would ever be a good wide receiver again if I've all of a sudden got millions of dollars and went to Miami. I think I would be looking an awful lot like James Harden and having my jersey retired in rafters potentially in the very near future. But you're not going to be with a good quarterback anymore. And I don't think It's different with Derek Carr because Derek Carr, I think, is at least competent and he's worked with Devontae right. Adams before. But I don't think Tyreek Hill knows what he's getting into, and I don't think Hill's going to like this at all. I think he's going to hate what I think he's going to hate playing with Tua.
You can't in life. You can't very often have your cake and eat it too. Situations like Von Miller, where he's been able to go to different situations and different teams and get paid a lot of money and then win Super Bowls. Like that's the minority here. Devontae Adams, remember, was offered the same amount of money by Green Bay is what reports said from ESPN.
He just wanted to go.
And he just genuinely wanted to play with Derek Carr and go home to Las Vegas. That's cool. That's fine. But to your point, what matters more? And I like Michael Irvin's honesty here that winning to him mattered a little bit more than getting that bag.
Yeah. And I feel like when you are someone like Irvin who played for the teams that he played for, your priorities are going to be different because it's not just playing for the Cowboys with that benefit of hindsight. It's also, I mean, he was at the U when Miami was
a great point.
The rock stars of college football. I mean, he was probably more famous than the majority of NFL players just by being somebody that was at the U. Like, I think only USC Trojans could have maybe gotten that star treatment, like back when they were a national power, like OJ Simpson in college before, you know, the stuff. I feel in this situation, Adams might end up being happy, but what would you rather be? Say you can live in a dream destination, although Vegas may be a little bit less so. I don't know if I could live in Vegas or Miami, and you have all the money, but you know you're probably past the days of playing for the best team in the NFL. Hill once said they were going to win like 7 Super right. Bowls in Kansas City.
He did say that. I'm taking less money. I'm playing in, you know, a city that's fine. I don't care. I want to win a Super Bowl. And then my off-season house, my beach house, can be in Miami.
Ooh, my beach house.
My summer home can be in Phoenix. My whatever can be, like, you can have an off-season. Remember, this is football. This isn't baseball or whatever, where you're on the road all the time. You're on the road for 8, maybe 9 games. So I'm playing somewhere where I'm going to win. I'm taking a little bit less money.
What if it was cold? Because both Green Bay and Kansas City can be cold.
I mean, it's fine.
Is it?
Yes, I think it's fine. You're the one that's from Boston.
Right.
You're not okay with cold?
I never want to go north again.
Never?
I am done with the cold. I'm sorry. Seattle was the last I would go, and it doesn't even snow there. Like that. No, I'm done. Syracuse, Boston, Seattle, hard
pass. I do hate the cold.
Florida or Texas for a variety of different reasons. But
we're not going to get into all
But specifically the weather is what I like. I would much rather be dying 110 degrees, have my AC cranked up and my electric bill through the roof in the summer than to be freezing during the winter.
We do have a call. Austin would like to talk to us about star wide receivers. Austin, what's up?
Hey, guys. Also wanted to say love y'all's show. I've been listening in since y'all started
much.
The new show, so big fan of it. Kind of like y'all thought about this. So I think maybe Michael's also kind of referring to the aspect of when they leave and go get that bag, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, Hill has had success, right? He won a Super Bowl ring and everything, but, you know, he could have supplement himself or essentially put his name in there as, like, one of these, like Irving, like Rice and all of them. Maybe if he continued to have success with Mahomes, we don't know. But I guess the aspect of, like, could Hill, I'm specifically speaking about him, but it could be any of the receivers, could be Adams as well, could they, you know, more or less, you know, get in trouble later of that contract, where it's like, hey, yeah, we're paying you $30 million a year, but look what's going on with the franchise. We're suffering because of it. And so they let them go at the end of the contract, or they just don't re-sign them. So yeah, they got their bag, and then now they can't go get re-signed somewhere else. It's like, hey, now you're crying. You're not really who you were before.
And like, they're getting looked at like AJ Green or Julio Jones is now. Now, that would take injuries, I think, Austin, for it to get to that point with those guys, especially in the case of Tyreek Hill. But I get where you're coming from, where, hey, a couple of years from now, yeah, they probably will end up being cap casualties. That's just generally how it works when you get a big-time deal like that. But, I mean, they're totally fine with all the guaranteed money that they're getting right now. That's for sure. Like, I don't think that they're concerned about what's going to happen when the guaranteed money runs out. But I think that I would say in the case of Devontae Adams, like, he hasn't won yet. You know, I mean, he's been with that Green Bay Packer team. They've been good. They've won a lot of games in the regular season. And appreciate the phone call, Austin.
Yeah, thank you, Austin.
But you haven't won a Super Bowl. And I don't think you're closer to winning a Super Bowl in the AFC West with Derek Carr than you are to winning a Super Bowl in the NFC North where you legitimately have no competition.
This was a happiness move for Davante Adams because he wasn't getting more money, and he's definitely not going somewhere where I think he's more likely to win a Super Bowl. I think he genuinely vibes with Derek Carr and wants to hang with him.
And it's surprising.
It was eyebrow-raising for sure.
Derek Carr, of all people, is the guy that you want to go play with. By the way, this also is interesting, and it just leads to a question that I've always had and how people feel philosophically about sports and specifically trash talk or arrogance. So Bruce Brown plays for the Philadelphia 76ers. And after the Sixers won their play-in game, he was looking ahead to the Boston Celtics. And even though the Nets have been a mess for much of this season, he feels pretty good about his seven-seed team's chances. Why? Here's why.
I mean, we can't let Tatum get 50. We got to be physical with them. Now they don't have Robert Williams, so they have less of a presence in the paint. And we could attack Al Horford and Tice. So them not having Robert Williams is huge.
I think it's honest, and he's right. It is huge that they don't have Robert Williams. But Kevin Durant, Vanessa, moments later, he stepped up to the podium, and he was very clear that he wanted to walk those comments back.
Yo, what did Bruce Brown say when he got up here? Nah, well, he said something I ain't like. Somebody just told me.
I love you.
Love you too, champ. What'd he say? All right, man. That's caffeine pride talking. Take some before the game. They got them two dudes. You can do the same stuff. It ain't gonna be that easy, I'll tell you that.
He's trying to be respectful. Here's my question. Do you feel like now the Celtics, they hear this and that they're going to be better? Like there's some almost like in Space Jam, you know, Michael's specials, water or whatever.
Mike's secret stuff.
Mike's secret stuff.
They have in the bottle.
Do you feel like...
Are haters motivators is the question.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for a lot of athletes, I don't know that that's the way it should be, but I do think that guys draw from that and you hear it all the time.
I used to always believe, and this was part of my religious, insane obsession with the Patriots, but I always was like, if you said something about the Patriots in the week leading up to the game, I was like, the game is over. I always felt that way.
You didn't think that it was just because Tom Brady and the Patriots were really good?
I felt like whenever, so it was partly that, but I always, you know, going into a game, I'd always be a little nervous. But when another team said anything that was remotely arrogant, I was like, Patriots just won. That's it. I used to strongly believe in this idea. I don't think this is going to be the case of the Celtics, and I do think it's also rather innocuous trash talk. You're going to have to find someone to really sculpt it and make it seem like it's some damning comments about how Daniel Tice and the other guys suck or something like that. But I don't know. Just a question I've always had. Do you actually believe that makes people better?
Does it make people better? Are haters motivators? There are some players that try to act like it's not, but then you can tell that it genuinely bothers them. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the Astros lose one in Arizona and the Texans sign a corner. That's next.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.